There are moments in history that feel like the end of a storm. The air is heavy, the landscape wrecked, but there is also an uneasy quiet, not peace exactly, but exhaustion. Such was the mood of America in 1877, at the close of Reconstruction. The storm had been raging since the guns fell silent at Appomattox, and for a while, there had been flickers of hope. Newly enfranchised black citizens casting ballots, black legislators seated in state houses, schools built in communities that had once known only chains. But by 1877, the winds were shifting again, and they were shifting fast. 1877 was a landslide. The presidential election of 1876, like so many of the nation's pivotal elections, unfolded with both drama and deep division. Rutherford B. Hayes, the Republican governor of Ohio, faced off against Samuel J. Tilden, the Democratic governor of New York. Tilden was a reformer, known for battling corruption in the Tammany Hall machine, and he carried with him the hopes of Democrats eager to restore their dominance in the South and beyond. Hayes, cautious and principled, represented the party that had freed the slaves and fought for their civil rights during Reconstruction. The popular vote told a clear story. Tilden led Hayes by more than 250,000 votes. By all appearances, it should have been a decisive victory, a landslide in favor of the Democrats. But the electoral vote was another matter entirely. Three southern states, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Florida, along with Oregon, reported contested results. Each side accused the other of fraud, intimidation, and outright theft. Ballot boxes disappeared. Armed militias hovered around polling stations. In Louisiana alone, more than 13,000 votes for Tilden were simply discarded by Republican-controlled canvassing boards under the claim of fraud or intimidation, turning an apparent Democratic win into Republican control. It was chaos thinly disguised as procedure. And yet, the word landslide feels appropriate, though not in the triumphal sense. What happened in 1876-77 was a landslide of deals, compromises, and collapsed ideals, a torrent of backroom bargaining that buried the fragile hopes of Reconstruction beneath the debris of political necessity. To resolve the deadlock, Congress created a 15-member electoral commission, five senators, five representatives, and five Supreme Court justices. Though ostensibly balanced, the commission tilted Republican after an independent justice resigned and was replaced by a Republican ally. In a straight party-line vote, the commission awarded all disputed electoral votes to Hayes, giving him a razor-thin margin, 185 to Tilden's 184. But Hayes's presidency would not be settled by the mere tallying of votes. Behind closed doors, Republicans and Southern Democrats struck what became known as the Compromise of 1877. The terms were largely unwritten, but their contours were clear. In exchange for Democratic acquiescence to Hayes's presidency, Republicans agreed to withdraw federal troops from the South, effectively ending Reconstruction. Hayes also promised to appoint at least one Southerner to his cabinet, invest in Southern infrastructure, and leave Southern states free to manage their own racial and political affairs without Northern interference. It was, in essence, the final, fateful bargain. Reconstruction, always a contested and fragile project, collapsed under the weight of political expediency. The federal government abandoned its commitment to protect black civil rights in the South, and white supremacist, redeemer, governments seized control of state after state. Freedmen who had once marched to the polls under the watchful eye of Union troops now faced a new reality of disenfranchisement, intimidation, and violence. The aftermath was brutal and swift. Southern legislatures, once dotted with black lawmakers, were swept clean by waves of voter suppression and terror. Literacy tests, poll taxes, and grandfather clauses choked off the black vote. The Ku Klux Klan and other paramilitary groups roamed with impunity, ensuring that the new social order remained firmly in place. The progress of the last decade lay buried beneath the rubble of compromise. But the word landslide carries yet another resonance here. The landslide was not merely political, it was cultural, social, and moral. The North, exhausted by years of sectional conflict and Reconstruction battles, turned its attention elsewhere, to industrial growth, Western expansion, and the tempting pursuit of wealth. The plight of the freedmen faded from the headlines, drowned by the noise of railroads and factories, gold rushes, and steel empires. Hayes himself, a man of principle caught in a grim reality, lamented the situation. He hoped that local self-government would not mean the abandonment of black rights, but his hopes were soon dashed. The moral authority of the federal government, once wielded to protect the emancipated, had been relinquished for the sake of national reconciliation, or at least, the appearance of it. In some corners of the South, the memory of Reconstruction lingered like a stubborn ember. Black communities, churches, and schools continued to nurture hope, even under relentless assault. Mutual aid societies and fraternal organizations sprang up to offer support where the government had failed. There was resilience in these quiet acts of defiance, but the overall weight of the landslide was undeniable. The Compromise of 1877 stands as one of the most consequential political bargains in American history. It settled an election but unsettled a nation, cementing white supremacy in the South for nearly a century to come. The cost of political peace was the sacrifice of justice, and generations would live in the shadow of that exchange. And so, as the curtains closed on Reconstruction, a new chapter loomed on the horizon, one defined not by the struggle to rebuild the Union, but by the roaring ambitions of the Gilded Age. The railroads stretched their iron veins across the continent. Monopolies and magnates began to rise. Cities swelled with immigrants and opportunity seekers. The age of industrial capitalism was dawning, promising new fortunes, but also new inequities. In our next episode, we'll step into the glittering, turbulent world of the Gilded Age, where wealth and corruption danced hand in hand, and where the landslides of power shifted once more, this time beneath the golden facade of progress. Stay tuned for the Gilded Age, wealth, corruption, and inequality.